Does the Bible teach predestination? There are significant scriptures regarding God's plan and his predetermined will. I'll read you a few so that you can take a look at it. We'll start here in the New Testament and we'll go around a little bit for other scriptures because it's a very significant subject. In Acts chapter 4, verse 27 through 29, it says, "For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus," and this is the apostles at the time, they were being persecuted by the Jews there, "whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel." Jesus was anointed, but both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, they to do whatever your hand, notice verse 28, "to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur." Whatever God's purpose. So here's Jesus Christ, and he says, "Now truly in this city we see your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed." We see both Herod and Pontius Pilate, and along with the Gentiles and the peoples, and they are allowed to do whatever your hand, speaking of God, and your purpose predestined to occur. "And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with confidence." In other words, so here they were praying, you know, "Lord, look at their threatening us now. They want to beat us. They want to stop us from preaching the gospel. They want to stop us from telling about Jesus Christ coming out of the tomb. And now, Lord, they're trying to get us." So he uses a word here, predestined. Your purpose, okay, was your hand and your purpose predestined. The Greek word, if you're interested in it, it's called proorizo. It means to determine ahead of time, to decide beforehand, to predetermine. It's also used in the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now here you notice it's going to be used with different things, but notice here you have different words used. So it's not only predetermined that God made up his mind ahead of time, but it's, you have other words, purpose. You see what your purpose is. And then Romans 8, verses 29 and 30. "For those whom he foreknew." Now here's a word. He foreknew. "He also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be," meaning Jesus would be, "the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined," that word again, proorizo, "he also," "and those whom he predestined, he also, and these whom he called," those whom he called, "he also justified." In other words, he predestined them. And those he called, he, so you're called, there's a purpose, they're foreknown, he justified them, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. That's in Romans chapter 8, verse 28-29. And the same word is used also in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 7 and 8. "But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages." The King James says before the world. The word is aeon, the ages. It means aeonion. It's a plural word meaning ages. He predestined before the ages. Some people say before time started. He predestined it before time started to our glory. So we speak a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God already predetermined, made a decision beforehand. He decided beforehand, and he decided it when? Before time began, before the ages, to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Well, of course, they were blind and they didn't know. So again, pre-death, he made a decision. How far back did he make this decision about this mystery, God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God predestined ahead of the ages to our, those who believe in Christ, to our glory. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father. This is Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us. So we have different words here. We have chose, we have purpose, we have foreknew, okay? We have these words to do what he's predestined to be done for, you know, his purpose in his hand. So he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. Now notice verse 5, Ephesians 1, verse 5. He predestined us to the adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. In other words, through Christ, we are adopted to God the Father according to the kind intention of his will. So now you have his will, you have his purpose, you have his foreknowledge, you have his chosen. We've been chosen. He foreknew us. He predestined us. He had a purpose for us. He predestined us to the adoption of sons through Jesus Christ himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. Dropping down to verse 11 of Ephesians. Also we have, I'm reading from the New American Standard Version, also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose. Again, you have these words, purpose, predestined, who works all things after the counsel of his will. Now you have counsel, you have will, you have purpose, and you have predestined. Now there's an interesting statement here. I'm going to read it from the Complete Jewish Bible in verse 11. Also, in union with him, we were given an inheritance. Given an inheritance. All that phrase, given an inheritance, all the phrase in the New American Standard Version, obtained an inheritance, that entire phrase, obtained an inheritance, is one Greek word. It's just one Greek word. And it means you were chosen, appointed by lot. By lot, you know, to have this inheritance. You know, like the Israelites had their land given by certain, you know, you can have this land by lot, and then this one is given and that one's given. It's almost you were given by a lot, by casting of lots. Also, we were given an inheritance, obtained by lot. We were also picked. Listen, this is how the Complete Jewish Bible reads verse 11, Ephesians 1, verse 11. We were given an inheritance. We were also picked in advance according to his purpose, according to the purpose of the one who effects everything in keeping with the decision of his will. Listen how powerful that, picked in advance. I'm going to read that in the New English Translation. In Christ, we too have been claimed, given an inheritance. The New English Translation says we've been claimed. In other words, we've been chosen by lot, inheritance by, as God's own possession, since we were predestined according to the one purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to the counsel of his will. Counsel, will, purpose, predestined, claimed by lot, inheritance. We've been given an inheritance. Here's the New International Revised Version. It reads like this, Ephesians 1, verse 11. We were also chosen to belong to him. That is, given an inheritance. God decided to choose us long ago in keeping with his plan. That is, a predestined. He predestined us, you see. Chosen us long ago in keeping with his plan. He works out everything to fit his plan and his purpose. So the Greek word here is the notion of a verb that means to appoint a portion by lot. It's to appoint. So here we have these passages. There are many these other words. It's these. Not only do you have the word predestined, you have these other words: predestined, plan, counsel, will, purpose, pleasure. Another word for plan. Another Greek word for purpose. Foreknew. Another Greek word, chose, and call. All of these words in the Greek enhance that word predestined. Enhance it. Now, to those people, there are people who believe in the absolute sovereignty of God, which we do, of course. And they believe that the doctrine of predestination presents no problem. That is, I just believe that God predestined me, and that I'm going to be either saved or lost, and I'm just going to go right to the end. However, if you search the scriptures, there is no statement in the Bible about predestined to be lost. There are some people predestined to be used in a bad way, I guess. If you say, because Jesus said, you know, Judas Iscariot was chosen for this very thing. And so there are some people predestined for that, but whether he's completely lost, we don't know. To those who believe in God's total sovereignty, the doctrine of predestination doesn't present much of a problem. And for some people, it's full of comfort. You know, I'm predestined. That's the way it is. Whereas the opposite idea, let's take the existentialists now, you can choose. It's a world of chance. It's a world of absurd world. It's a world of chance. And that world can be problematic. It can be frightening because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know whether I will be. I don't know. I've got plans. Let's take a look at some Old Testament scriptures. And what you'll see God's purpose regarding mostly his choosing of Abraham, his choosing of different ones and the affliction and his knowledge of what's going to happen and his purpose in this. This is Genesis chapter 15, verse 13. God said to Abram, know for certain. Now here's God knowing something. He's already knowing this is going to happen. Listen, he's talking to Abraham before there were the nation of Israel. Abraham didn't yet have Isaac, didn't yet have Jacob. Jacob didn't have his 12 sons. The 12 sons didn't develop into a nation. There was no nation. But God says this in Genesis 15, verse 13. God said to Abram, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in the land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. That's in Genesis 15, verse 13. God already foreknowing and purposing this statement. Your descendants, Abraham, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to have a son. You know, I promised you a son. You're going to have one. But his descendants and their descendants after, they're going to be slaves. They're going to be strangers in the land. They're going to be enslaved and oppressed for a long time. God calling it out way before it happened. Predicting it. Part of his plan, part of his almighty purpose. Dropping down to now in the book of Genesis to chapter 45, verse 7. Listen to what Joseph said. Now, you remember Joseph, the smart aleck young guy. He was when he was born, he's got, you know, hey guys, you know, I had a dream. All of you were bound before me, and you know, I'm the darling of my mother Rachel, and you know, da 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 da, and you all going to serve me, and all the people are going to bow down before me, and all this. And they hated him. They hated this little smart aleck guy. So why can we get rid of him? Let's get rid of him. So they faked his death and sent him off to Egypt as a slave. Sold him. They were going to kill him, but they decided to sell him. So here he was. After he sold into Egypt and all the things that happened to him, you know, he was sold as a slave at first, and he got hired, you know, he got bought by Potiphar, and then he had Potiphar's wife was trying to get him, and then he ends up in prison, and he goes from prison, and he has these dreams, and then all of a sudden he's in front of the Pharaoh, and next thing you know, he's the second in command of Egypt. So in Genesis chapter 45, he's telling his brothers, God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. In other words, God had a big purpose in this. I went to Egypt to keep you alive. Now, therefore, it was not you who sent me here. You think you enslaved me. You sent me here. But God, not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to the Pharaoh. That is a big advisor. Pharaoh looks to me. And Lord of all his household and ruler over all the land of Egypt. So you thought you sent me here, but God had a greater purpose. And God used you for his purpose, and I came here. In the book of Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, we read this at the end of Joseph's life. As for you, he's talking to his brothers, as for you, you meant evil against me. Yeah, they did. They didn't care if they killed him. They hated him. But God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. You meant it for bad. You wanted to kill me. You wanted to get rid of me. You wanted to sell me into Egypt. You wanted to leave me in a pit and die. But God meant it for good. Always, always behind the scenes is the Almighty. Always. His purposes can never be thwarted. They always are there. In the book of Exodus, chapter 3, God says, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. This is Exodus chapter 3, dropping to verse 7. The Eternal said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. I've come down to bring them there. I have a purpose. I see them suffering. He predicted they would be suffering in the days of Abraham. Here they were. God says, I hear their sufferings. I know they're. I've come down to help them. So God's counsel, God's purposes stand, and they cannot be defeated. You think you're going to defeat them? You can't. People thought, if I kill, you know, I'm sure Satan thought, if we just get the people, you know, arouse all these people and say, crucify him, crucify him, that's going to defeat God's purpose. That really, really played right into God's purpose, the whole purpose. You cannot defeat God's counsel. You cannot defeat God's purpose, and you cannot defeat God's plan. And so the psalmist in Psalm 46 says these beautiful words in verse 10. Cease striving. I mean, cease. Stop. You know, hey, stop for a while. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Stop fussing. Stop running. Stop getting so anxious. Stop getting all upset. Know that I am God, and that I will be exalted in the earth and among the nations. Now, all that God wills, when God wills it, when God says, I will this, I'm going to do it, he does it. Okay? Whatever he wills, he does. And nobody can stop it. Listen to what the scriptures say in Psalm 115, for instance, in verse 3. But our God is in the heavens, and he does whatever he pleases. You know, now this is, I don't want you in any way to make any, only this comparison. Where does the 500-pound gorilla sit? Remember that statement? Remember that? Wherever he wants to, right? God is, I don't want you to compare, but God is all-powerful. God is all. He is in the heavens, and he does whatever he pleases. Who's going to say no? Who's going to say you can't do it? Notice Psalm 135 now, and dropping down to verse 6. Whatever the Eternal pleases, he does. In heaven, and in earth, and in the seas, and in all the deeps. That's Psalm 135, verse 6. Whatever the Eternal pleases, he does. He does whatever he wants. Who's going to say no? In the book of Daniel, chapter 4, and verse 35, here's the declaration here. All the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing, but he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can ward off his hand or say to him, what have you done? So God is all-powerful. Can God predestine? Can God purpose? Can God plan? Can God have a will? Absolutely. And what he wills, he does. And nobody can stop him. Can you stop it? It is because God has purposed it that it actually comes to pass. When God purposes it, then it comes to pass. Look at Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. The Eternal of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, just as I have intended, so it has happened. And just as I have planned, so it will stand. You can't stop it. Whatever God's plan is what God's plan is. Dropping down to verse 27 now. That was 24, now two verses later, or three verses later. For the Eternal of hosts has planned, and who can frustrate it? And as for his stretched out hand, who can turn it back? God plans it, you can't frustrate it, you can't stop it. And for his hand, you can't turn it back. Whatever God's purposes are. Isaiah chapter 37, verse 26. Have you not heard? Long ago I did it. From ancient times I planned it. Now I have brought it to pass that you should turn fortified cities into ruinous heaps. This is God's plan to punish different nations. So God, you read these passages in Isaiah. You read these passages in Psalms. So God is really all-powerful. No one can stop whatever God wants to do. And behind everything, God is the, so to speak, the disposer. He's right behind all events that happen. God is a part of the events that happen. He allows it, or he permits it, or he causes it. But he's behind it. You remember when David was fleeing? It was a time, and one of David's friends wanted to go with him, the Archite, Hushai the Archite. He wanted to go with David, and David said, go back to Absalom. Go back. Pretend you're with Absalom. You gotta do something to counter the advice of Ahithophel. See if you can counter that advice, because they knew Ahithophel was such a wise person. He had such great insights that his advice was almost, you could say, it's almost like the word of God, because it was so wise, so right, so clever. So here's Absalom. What should we do? Ahithophel says, "Let me, your father's on the run. Let's go get him right now. Just get to the troop. I'll take it out. We'll go down. We'll find where he is, and we'll destroy him." Then they ask Hushai, "What's your statement?" He said, "The advice of Ahithophel is not good at this time. It's going to be good, but it's not good at this time. You know your father, he and his men are severe warriors, and you catch him now and he's aggravated. They'll fight like crazy, and all we have to do is lose a little bit, and then the hearts of the people will turn to him. I predict this. Let's take our time. Let's gather all huge army all over Israel, and you show that you're the leader. You're more powerful than your dad. You lead the army, and we'll just wipe out every town that ever gave your dad a piece of bread. We'll make it a dung heap, and we'll go after him, and all Israel will know who's in charge, and you're the person." And this is what then Absalom says. This is in the book of 2 Samuel. 1 Samuel. He says, "Then Absalom and all the men of Israel said, 'The counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel.' But verse 14 there says, 'For the Eternal had ordained to thwart the counsel of Ahithophel, so that the Eternal might bring calamity on Absalom.'" He had ordained it. God wanted him to stumble, so he couldn't do it. You can look that up in the book of Samuel. Job chapter 1. In the book of Job, when Job was having all these things happen, and his animals were defeated, and some of them were stolen, and the fire came and did this, and his sons got wiped out, and he's getting all this news, and he's lost everything. Like a complete collapse of the stock market, and you lose everything. Lost everything. All his cattle, all his ranches, all his everything. What did Job say? Job 1, verse 21, he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Eternal gave." How did I get all this? "The Eternal gave, and the Eternal has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Eternal." So behind all events, Job said, God did this. God gave it to me. Because of God. You remember what Nebuchadnezzar, he really was very stupid. He walks out and he says, "Look at this city. This is all me, man. I did all this by my great wisdom and by my great strength. I have built the great city of Babylon." And he didn't give any credit to God. If you don't give credit to God, guess how foolish you are. It's God who gives you the health. It's God who gives you the vitality. It's God who gives you whatever mind you have to be. You could be dementia. You could have something happen to you. You think about an accident that would change your entire life. An accident. And so, you don't give credit to God, who is all powerful. How stupid he was. But Job says, I know. I came from my mother's womb naked. I'm going to go naked to the earth. I'm going to go back. And so God gave it, and God has taken away, and God's name is blessed. In Proverbs chapter 16, the lot is cast. This is verse 33, Proverbs 16, verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap. You know, let's make cast the lots. Let's see who does what. Let's see who's going to get this. Let's see what the decision is. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the eternal. Proverbs 16, verse 33. Does God have a purpose? Is he deciding things? Is he doing things? You cast lots. Let's see who gets this. Let's cast lots. It's every decision. And you remember when the people were replacing, you remember Judas Iscariot, the disciples had to replace Judas Iscariot. Who's going to be the 12th apostle? Who's going to help us with this and proclaim these things? These two people have been with us from the beginning, and they were going to cast lots. And the God is behind every decision of that. So man may devise his way, but it's God who directs his steps, says Proverbs 16, verse 9. The mind of man plans his way, but the eternal directs his steps. Even the hearts of men are under God's control. The hearts of men. Listen to Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. The king's heart is like channels of water. Now, heart means your mind. It doesn't mean this ticker here. It means your mind, your emotions, all the thoughts, and all your character. The king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the eternal. And he turns it wherever he wishes. Channels of water. When I send it down this way, I'm going to turn that water over here. I'm going to put it back this way. I'm going to turn. He turns the channel of water wherever he wishes. That's why it's fine. It's good for us to pray. God, give us favor in the sight of those who have power and authority over us. Give us favor, because God can channel a king's heart in any direction he wishes. Proverbs 21, verse 1. God sends to men both good and evil. God does it. Amos chapter 3, verse 6. If a trumpet is blown in the city, will not the people tremble? If a calamity occurs in a city, has not the eternal done it? Is God not aware of thunderstorms? Is God not aware of earthquakes? Is God not aware of tornadoes? Is God not aware of hurricanes? Is God not aware of these things? Okay. Now, all these show God's enormous power, God's will, and God's foreknowledge, predictions, and predestinations according to his will, his counsel, his purpose, his calling, his foreknowledge. But in no sense do you get the picture from the scriptures that imply that Israel as a nation, nor any other nation, nor you as a person, are mere puppets or automatons in the hand of God. All nations, as well as all individuals, possess genuine responsibility. For when they act, they do so according to their own will, and they act by their own decisions. That is also plain in the scriptures. I just showed you what God's purposes are. Now, on the other side here, the very plain about the scriptures. So when Israel, you know, who's God's chosen, God's chosen plan, when Israel, whom God has chosen as his nation, turns away from God, such turning away, while God is behind the scenes and you can't thwart God's purposes for Israel, such turning away is Israel's own action, their own decisions, their own act. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. Listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth, for the Eternal speaks. Sons I have reared and brought up, but they have revolted against me. Who revolted? They did. God reared them. He brought up Israel. I brought them up. But what did they do? They revolted. And in Isaiah chapter 29, which Jesus quoted in the New Testament from the Septuagint version, you know, here's why it reads in the Hebrew. Then the Eternal said, because this people draw near to me with their words, they honor me with their lip service. But listen to this last part. But they remove their hearts far from me. They remove their hearts. Who removes their hearts? Who can remove their heart from God? It's they, you yourself. You can remove your mind, your heart away from God. You can. God has purposes. He's predestined that we be called. He's predestined that we become the children of God. The sons, you know, other sons through Jesus Christ. But you can remove your heart. They remove their hearts from me. Jesus said, you know, he quoted that very thing in the last part. And their reverence for me consists of traditions learned by rote. Jesus said, you know, and they teach for doctrines the commandments of men. That's the other one, the Septuagint version. So here we have these two powerful issues. One, God is sovereign. No one can stop God from doing whatever he wants. God is behind the actions of all things. God is predicting ahead of time what Israel would do way before Israel was formed. God predicted to Abraham, your children are going to be in slavery for 400 years. This is a situation that's going to come about. What are you going to do? You know, this is going to happen. And God brought them about, but I'm going to have a purpose. And Joseph said, you thought you sold me down here to hurt me, but he said, God had another purpose. It was, you didn't send me to Egypt. God sent me to Egypt. You'd meant it for evil. God meant it for good. Because no one can thwart God. Now we have to deal with the issue. What about me and what about you? What about us in our personal lives? How much power does God have over your everyday decision? How much power does God have over your eternal life and your movement toward eternal life? What decisions are yours in this life? What decisions are God's? Does God's predestination affect you in a daily way? We'll talk more about that in our next sermon.